Although, he might just as well be giving a recipe for angel food cake, because you can hardly make out what he's saying for the static. I get up and slip off my sweatpants, and then I see Gretchen standing at the starting line, kicking her legs out like a pro. Then as I get into place, I see that old Raymond is online on the other side of the fence, bending down with his fingers on the ground just like he knew what he was doing. I was going to yell at him, but then I didn't. It burns up your energy to holler. Every time, just before I take off in a race, I always feel like I'm in a dream, the kind of dream you have when you're sick with fever and feel all hot and weightless. I dream I'm flying over a sandy beach in the early morning sun, kissing the leaves of the trees as I fly by. And there's always the smell of apples. Just like in the country when I was little and used to think I was a choo-choo train running through the fields of corn and chugging up the hill to the orchard. And all the time I'm dreaming this, I get lighter and lighter until I'm flying over the beach again, getting blown through the sky like a feather that weighs nothing at all. But once I spread my fingers in the dirt and crouch over the get on your mark, the dream goes and I'm solid again and I'm telling myself, Squeaky, you must win. You must win. You are the fastest thing in the world. You can even beat your father up Amsterdam if you really try. And then I feel my weight coming back just behind my knees, then down to my feet, then into the earth, and the pistol shot explodes in my blood, and I'm off and weightless again, flying past the other runners, my arms pumping up and down, and the whole world is quiet except for the crunch as I zoom over the gravel in the track. I glance to my left, and there's no one. To the right, a blurred Gretchen, who's got her chin jutting out as if it would win the race all by itself. And on the other side of the fence is Raymond with his arms down to his side and the palms tucked up behind him, running in his very own style. And it's the first time I ever saw that, and I almost stopped to watch my brother Raymond on his first run. But the white ribbon is bouncing toward me, and I tear past it, racing into the distance till my feet with a mind of their own start digging up footfuls of dirt and break me short. Then all the kids standing on the side pile on me, banging me on the back and slapping my head with their May Day programs, for I have won again, and everybody on 151st Street can walk tall for another year. In first place, the man on the loudspeaker is clear as a bell now. But then he pauses and the loudspeaker starts to whine, then static. And I lean down to catch my breath, and here comes Gretchen walking back, for she's overshot the finish line too, huffing and puffing with her hands on her hips, taking it slow, breathing in steady time like a real pro, and I sort of like her a little for the first time. In first place, and then three or four voices get all mixed up on the loudspeaker, and I dig my sneaker into the grass and stare at Gretchen, who's staring back. We both wondering just who did win. I can hear old Beanstalk arguing with the man on the loudspeaker, and then a few others running their mouths about what the stopwatches say. Then I hear Raymond yanking at the fence to call me, and I wave to shush him. But he keeps rattling the fence like a gorilla in a cage, like in them gorilla movies. But then, like a dancer or something, he starts climbing up nice and easy, but very fast. And it occurs to me, watching how smoothly he climbs hand over hand, and remembering how he looked running with his arms down to his side and with the wind pulling his mouth back and his teeth showing and all, it occurred to me that Raymond would make a very fine runner. Doesn't he always keep up with me on my trots? And he surely knows how to breathe in counts of seven because he's always doing it at the dinner table, which drives my brother George up the wall. And I'm smiling to beat the band because if I've lost this race, or if me and Gretchen tie, or even if I've won, I can always retire as a runner and begin a whole new career as a coach with Raymond as my champion. After all, with a little more study, I can beat Cynthia and her phony self at the spelling bee. And if I bugged my mother, I could get piano lessons and become a star. And I have a big rep as the baddest thing around. And I've got a room full of ribbons and medals and awards, but what has Raymond got to call his own? So I stand there with my new plans, laughing out loud by this time as Raymond jumps down from the fence and runs over with his teeth showing and his arms down to the side, which no one before him has quite mastered as a running stop. And by the time he comes over, I'm jumping up and down so glad to see him. My brother Raymond, a great runner in the family tradition. But of course everyone thinks I'm jumping up and down because the men on the loudspeaker have finally gotten themselves together and compared notes and are announcing, in first place, Miss Hazel Elizabeth Deborah Parker. Dig that. In second place, Miss Gretchen P. Lewis. And I look over at Gretchen wondering what the P stands for. And I smile. Because she's good, no doubt about it. Maybe she'd like to help me coach Raymond. She obviously is serious about running, as any fool can see. And she nods to congratulate me, and then she smiles. And I smile. We stand there with this big smile of respect between us. It's about as real a smile as girls can do for each other, considering we don't practice real smiling every day, you know. Because maybe we too busy being flowers or fairies or strawberries instead of something honest and worthy of respect. You know, like being people.